Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank and praise your name, Father, for another Sabbath day, another opportunity to come before you to give honor, glory, and praise to your name. We thank you, Father, for every blessing you bestowed upon your people. Today we ask that you would touch the bodies of those that need a healing today, Father. A touch from the Master's hand. We know, Father, that there's nothing too hard for you and that you can raise even from the dead. So we ask, Father, that you would lift those up from their beds of affliction, that they would receive a blessing from you this day. Father, comfort all those who have lost loved ones, who are mourning at this time. Console them as only you can, and continue to be Yahweh Yireh for each and every one of us that has particular needs. The greatest need, of course, is being in a relationship with you, Father. And we know, Father, that there's nothing, again, too hard for you. So provide for those who are seeking, Father, according to your will. Hear and answer prayer according to your will. And touch each and every one of your servants according to your will. We thank you for the Sabbath day and this opportunity to come before you to hear your word. We ask that your word would have free course in us and be a blessing to us as we seek, Father, to serve you and to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. We want to open our message today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 1. We have a long title to this message. As a disciple, do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth? The message is entitled, As a Disciple, Do You Have Discipline to Rightly Divide the Word of Truth? It takes discipline to serve Almighty Yahweh. Now, Yahshua had many disciples. And several fell away. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, You therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in the Messiah Yahshua. We, through the apostles' writings, we see the grace that Almighty Yahweh has shown his people. Now, this grace that has been given to us who have chosen to worship Almighty Yahweh. Those who have chosen to follow Almighty Yahweh's commandments. Because he told us in his word, and we've studied this in the on the prayer line throughout this week, where the transfiguration was, where it happened, and the voice from on high told them, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." So we, in listening to the Savior, understand the grace that he brought to each and every one of our lives. In verse 2 it says, "And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses." Now this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, "The same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So this message that Yahshua taught his disciples then taught others. Paul being one that was an apostle to the Gentiles, who brought this message to not only Timothy as one of the young preachers who became a bishop of Ephesus, but he gave this message to all those that he came to. In verse 3, and I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of the Messiah Yahshua." Now, to be a soldier, you have to have discipline. Those that don't have discipline either get drummed out in basic training or they get killed early in their tenure as a soldier. A lot of people, when they talk about going through this training where they had to go on their stomachs and crawl under the barbed wire with live fire going over their heads, if people panicked and they stood up, they got chewed up. They got killed. Friendly fire. But see, it was training, and the training was designed to get you ready for the real battle. And this is what we're going through now. We're getting the training we need to go through the real battle. And those battles that we deal with every day are real. They're real. What Paul is preparing Timothy for is a great battle with the adversary and the children, the tares, the children of the adversaries. You have to understand, Ephesus was where the great Diana of the Ephesians was. It was like the Statue of Liberty with many breasts. It was a fertility, mighty one, that people call Easter. Astarte was another name. She had many names, but Diana was one of the names, and it speaks about that in Acts chapter 19. So here in verse 4 it says, "No soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." So if Yahweh has called you to be his soldier, to work for him, and fulfilling this great commission, we can't get caught up in the things of this life. And too many people get involved in the things of this life. And again, they shouldn't. Verse 5, "And also if a man contends in the games, he is not crowned except he has contended lawfully. If you cheat, like Lance Armstrong, who won quite a few of his races, but then they found that he had been juicing, he had been taking steroids, which gave him an unfair advantage over those that did not take steroids, and you end up getting stripped of your championships." Verse 6, the husbandman who labors must be the first to partake of the fruit. After the first fruits was offered to Yahweh, yes. You are the first to partake of the fruits. Consider what I say, for Yahweh shall give you understanding in all things. Now, the reason that we're here, not just to worship Yahweh, that's the primary reason we come together on Sabbath, to worship Yahweh. But we also come together to learn of him, to grow closer to him. See? Now, Paul is telling Timothy to consider what he's saying. Yahweh shall give you understanding. And Timothy did receive that understanding. He was a faithful disciple of Paul and of Yahshua the Messiah, even though Yahshua was already gone at the time Timothy came along. Remember in verse 8, Yahshua the Messiah, risen from the dead of the seed of David, according to my good tidings, in which I suffer hardship to bonds as a malefactor. But the word of Yahweh is not bound. It's not limited. Even though we might be prisoners, we might be prisoners in this world, we're free in Yahweh. Therefore, verse 10, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, the elect are the 144,000. They're the saints, that they also may obtain salvation which is in the Messiah Yahshua with eternal glory. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we shall deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Yahweh is faithful through his son, Yahshua the Messiah, who was faithful in doing his father's will. Now, he gave us quite an example. My question for you today as a disciple, do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth? Can you rightly divide the word of truth? How can you rightly divide something you don't know? Now, verse 14 says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of Yahweh, that they quarrel not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling properly the word of truth, rightly dividing it. But shun profane babbling, for they will proceed in further lawlessness. And we hear of these profane babblings by quite a few of the people and ministers of this world. And you have to understand that the ministers of this world are what? They're there doing what they've been paid to do, what they've been trained to do. Now, they go to seminary, they learn the truth. But how many of them actually teach the truth? I often encounter people and we talk about the scriptures. We talk about the Bible. And I tell them, if they have a KJV or whatever Bible, to go to the preface and look and read in your preface. And this is most of the Bibles that don't have the holy name in it. See, they have taken the name out and substituted Lord and God. And they do this, they say, to, again, make it palatable and easy for the people to understand. But Yahweh has not given them permission to do so. You understand? Verse 17. And this is how in verse 16 they proceed further in lawlessness. Lawlessness is the breaking of the commandments. Verse 17. And their word will eat as gangrene does, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Because you're going to have ministers out there that are lying because they don't know the truth themselves. You know, I say they know it, but they don't really know it. And the reason I'm saying it this way is because they've been taught the truth. And again, you might know something or be taught something that is true, and it's there subconsciously. But really, it's like you're blinded to it until the light shines. And once that light shines on it, then you have that eureka moment. Oh, okay, I see. I see, I understand. And that happens in so many things in the world, in knowledge. And Yahweh will reveal to his people more and more knowledge as they draw closer to him. Now, in verse 19, it says, however, the firm foundation of Yahweh stands, having this seal. Yahweh knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Yahweh depart from sin, from unrighteousness. If you believe that Yahweh is your mighty one, then you have to live a life free from sin. See, that law of sin and death is present. It's in the world. And it has hold on most of the people. But those who choose to follow Yahweh are free from the law of sin and death when they receive the baptism in Yahshua's name. See, because then you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have no excuse. You have the power to overthrow sin in your life. Verse 20. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Pottery. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these. Now, these could be those profane babblings that they were brought up in. You know, a lot of people were raised. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, and he was raised Catholic. And we talked about some of these profane babblings and, you know, a lot of the idols that are a part of Catholicism. And we were talking about the harlot daughters. And he knew exactly what I was speaking of, because as soon as I said it, he started the Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, because he was raised Catholic, but he knows what came out of Catholicism. You understand? And again, you even have the same offshoots, maybe not when I say the same, I'm talking about groups that have come off of the truth. You have several levels of the truth. Even in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it's talking about seven different assemblies that were in Asia, that were true assemblies, that worshiped Yahweh. But each of them had their own issues, except for Philadelphia. He had nothing negative to say about Philadelphia. But Yahshua addressed each one of these seven assemblies, and the bishops or the elders, the leaders of that seven assembly. Now, the reason I want you to see this, it says, he shall be a vessel. Once you purge yourself from these profane babblings, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified, good for the master's use. Yahweh can't use you if you're not doing or living the right way. Prepare to every good work, but flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. There are other people who call upon Yahweh as they did back in Genesis who called on Yahweh profanely. They didn't lift his name up. They were cursing his name. Now, Yahweh's not going to let anyone that profanes his name get away with it. He says in verse 23, but foolish and ignorant questionings refuse, knowing that they gender strifes. And Yahweh's servant, his Obadiah, must not strive, but be gentle toward all, able to teach, forbearing, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves. Now, these people out here who are Christians, who are Muslims, who are Jews, they're in all facets of life who are in opposition to themselves. They don't know that they don't know. And you can't take the Bible and beat them over the head and try to get them to understand it. It has to be with love that you approach those who are seeking. Now, remember, the wheat and tares are growing together. The field is the world, over in Matthew 13, that parable. So there are many people out there. You never know who Yahweh is calling. Your job is as a witness. Now, you're a soldier in Yahweh's service. Now, as a soldier, you have an objective. Right, Zechariah? You have an objective. But you have to know your objective and how you can achieve your objective in a professional and right manner. It says, if perhaps Yahweh may give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to his will. See, because the devil's will, he's trying to get people to do his will. Can you rightly divide the word of truth? Do you know the will of Yahweh versus the will of the devil? Huh? Do you know? You know the difference? That's the question. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, this is now, beloved, the second letter that I write to you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance. First you had Paul, now you have Peter. That you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and the commandment of the master and savior through your apostles. Now, this is speaking of Paul as well, who is an apostle, as well as the rest of the apostles. Knowing this first, that the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And you have people out here doing that today. For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old and an earth compacted out of water and by means of water, by the word of Yahweh, by which means the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And this is talking about the flood of Noah. Okay? But the heavens that now are and the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of lawless men. So here it's talking about fire. The world was destroyed by water, and now it's talking about it's going to be destroyed by fire. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is what Yahweh desires. He wants everybody to be saved. But guess what? The devil does it. And you have to make a determination by rightly dividing the word of truth who you're going to follow. Now, Adam made a distinct choice to follow the devil, because after his wife Eve had taken of the tree of knowing good and evil, that she knew she wasn't, she offered it to him, and he willingly took of it. It says again, Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But as the day of Yahweh will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and righteousness, looking for and earnestly desiring the day of Yahweh? Now, this day of Yahweh is going to be devastating. It's going to be one of the worst times the earth has ever known. But here the scripture, and Peter is saying that we, as Yahweh's soldiers, his servants, shall desire that time. See, it's contrary to your carnal nature. And this is why we have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you truly love Yahweh, you're going to desire the kingdom to come. Not just for yourself, but for your children as well. See, you don't want them to have to go through this tribulation that's coming upon this earth. And it's not going to have to happen. You can receive the blessing and the protection of Yahweh. You just have to trust him. And that's the problem. Most people don't trust him. They try to trust themselves, which means that they're following Satan the devil. See, because you cannot stop anything that is already set in motion that's going to happen. Now, Almighty Yahweh is calling the people in these last days to serve him, to open up their hearts to their fellow man. We overcome this world and Satan the devil through love, by showing love one to another. Verse 11 again, seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be to be in all holy living and righteousness, looking for and earnestly desiring the day of Yahweh, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yahweh's people don't have to worry about what's going to happen, because we're not going to be burnt up. You understand? That fire that's devouring the people of this world will not harm you as Yahweh's servants, because you've been promised protection, salvation. Do you believe what the word of Yahweh says? Verse 14, it says, therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight, and account that the long-suffering of our Master is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unlearned wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. They can't rightly divide because they don't know Yahweh. They don't love. You, verse 17, therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our sovereign and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And we'll start in verse 4. Now, as a disciple, do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth? That's the question of the day. In verse 4, it says of Isaiah 51, attend to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light of the people. This is Yahweh speaking. Okay? My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait for me, and on my arm they shall trust. The arm of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall grow old like a garment. And they that dwell in it shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Listen to me, you that know righteousness. Righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. The people in whose heart is my law. Is the law of Yahweh in your heart today, brother? Fear not the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their reviling. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them up like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times. Is it not you that cut Rahab in pieces, that pierced the monster? Is it not you that dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? When Israel came out of Egypt, they walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. That was a miracle. Yet, they murmured once they got over, away from the Egyptians. They complained, can El prepare a table in the wilderness? And what did Yahweh do? He provided manna, bread from heaven. He provided meat, quails, enough for them to eat every day. For a whole month till they got sick of it. See, we can't try Yahweh, brethren. We have to trust him. Verse 11, and the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing to Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I encourage the brethren to sing. I encourage them to give praise to Yahweh every day. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. We'll start in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. How do you become holy, brethren? Kadesh. You become holy by separating yourself from the world, from the things of this world. See, the world does things that are not kosher. But Yahweh wants his people to be able to separate the holy from the common, the clean from the unclean. And for you to do that, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know the word of Yahweh. And as I said in the past, if you study a subject an hour a day, in 5 years you'll become an expert. So if we don't have 5 years, what do you have to do? You might have to study 2 hours a day. You might have to find more time. I have a question for you today. Show of hands. How many of you opened your Bibles this past week? You know, I'm not saying this to put you on the spot. What I'm saying, I'm asking you this question because I want you to understand that you need to open it. You need to allow His Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. So for you to rightly divide the truth, you have to know it. Now, Yahshua is the truth, the life, and the way. He's the only way to eternal life in the kingdom. So you have to know who Yahshua is. Now, next week, if I ask this question, I want to see everybody's hands raised high. You understand? Because it doesn't take long. You can do it on your smartphone. You can pull up the Bible app on your phone and read some scripture throughout the week. If you don't have your Bible with you at work, on your break, or whatever. And you can read it while you eat your lunch on the job. So you can find time to serve Yahweh. You can find time to draw closer to Him. And this is what this is about. Drawing yourself closer to Him. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. If anyone asks you about the will of Yahweh, would you be able to respond? Would you be able to answer them? See, His perfect will is here in the Word. And we need to know what His perfect will is. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. How can your faith grow if you're not feeding it? You understand? Your faith cannot grow unless you feed it something positive. And the word of Yahweh is something positive. Right? Can you go all week without eating? No. You feed your body. But we need to feed our spirit as well, brethren. And this is where the word of Yahweh comes in. So we can rightly divide it. We have to know what it is. And for us to know what it is, we have to study it. We have to look into it. Verse 4, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. according to the proportion of our faith or ministry. Let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorts to his exhorting. He that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, brethren. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another, in honor preferring one another, in diligence not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Now, you like being around fun people. You like being around happy people. Am I correct? If you're around Debbie Downers all day long, they're going to bring you down if you allow them. It's like that rotten apple making the whole barrel rotten. You've got to be positive, and you have to be the one that makes the change. You have to be the one that people desire to want to be like, that want to be around. People want to be around good and happy people. Now, that means we have to make a difference that the way we look at things, the way we see things, the way we do things, we have to be very positive people. See, where it says here, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Are you patient in your trials, brother? Most people can answer that honestly, will say no. See, because when you're being tried, people start to panic. You know, if they think that the Egyptians are going to take them away and they see the Red Sea there and they say, we're trapped. What are we going to do? What did Moses do? He told him, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. And this is what we have to do, brethren. When those tribulations come upon us in our life, we have to stand still, patiently waiting for Yahweh, who is going to give us the victory over our enemies. Because he's not going to take you anywhere where he can't keep you. He's not going to send you anywhere where he cannot get you to the promised land. He wants you to be there. He wants you to overcome this life and Satan the devil. And if you're faithful and you're keeping the commandments, guess what? You will do just that. You will overcome Satan the devil in this world. He's trying to get you to sin against Almighty Yahweh. Now, how do we do this? Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We have to pray more, brethren. Communicating the necessities of the saints, given the hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. You want the best for other people. Or do you? You want the best for you. So you should want the best for other people. It's hard. It's hard when people sin against you. And it's hard for you to bless somebody that's not treating you the way you feel you should be treated. But do we always treat people the way they should be treated? You think about it. Do you fuss and fight with your husband or with your wife, your significant other? Do you treat your children the way they need to be treated? It's hard sometimes. You know why? Because you look back on the way you were treated. as you were raised. Not everybody was raised with the love that Yahweh has for his people. And that may be because your parents may not have known Yahweh. They may not have known how to treat you the way you deserve to be treated. Now, be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. Now, if somebody slights you or does something wrong to you on the job, and they did it willfully, you don't have to return that evil to them. You can show them love, even though they're trying to show you hate. And you know what's going to happen? Yahweh's going to keep the coals of fire on their head because they can't overcome you. They can't get under your skin because you're not allowing them to. See, forgiveness is for what? It's for you. When you forgive others, it's for you. Because if you hold grudges, if you harbor some negatives towards somebody else, that's hurting you. It's not hurting them. Do you understand? Doesn't matter who it is. It could be your sister. It could be your parents. It could be your best friend. See, we see things on a certain level, a carnal level, but Yahweh wants us to see things on a spiritual level because truly Yahweh is spirit. And we can only worship him in spirit and in truth. And for us to get to that level, we have to overcome this carnal nature in this world. Because if we can't get over this, we can't get to the kingdom of Yahweh. We can't get there, brethren, unless we can forgive and get over the things of this life. Take thought for the things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much in you lies, be at peace with all men. And it is possible. All you have to do is do it. You know, you might say, well, that's easy for you to say. No, it's hard for each one of us. But we can do it. He has given us the capacity to love. Now, what did Yahshua say? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if we're keeping the commandments of Yahweh, we're showing love even to our enemies. In verse 19 it says, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So what are we supposed to do, brethren? Overcome evil with good. You know how to do that. Each one of us knows how to do that. You know why? We know how to love. We've been given an example through Yahshua the Messiah how to love. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 12. Remember, as a disciple, do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth? Are you a disciple of Yahshua the Messiah, brethren? In verse 12, it says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. They're forgiven you for Yahshua's name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You've overcome Satan, the devil. I have written to you, little children, because you know the Father. And the only way we know the Father is through the Son, Yahshua the Messiah. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And this is Yahshua. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh remains in you. Young men are strong. They're in the gym all the time lifting weights. Yep, trying to get those bodies, you know, where they look and feel very prosperous, very strong. Yes. And the women are in the gym, too, today. Everybody's trying to look good. And there's nothing wrong with that. You think about why, though. Why are you trying to look good? You're trying to look good for him. He's trying to look good for you. Okay? Back and forth. Now, but what we need to do, we got to put another element there. And that element is Yahweh. We have to try to do it for him first. And if we do it for him first, then everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. And the word of Yahweh remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. We lust after worldly things. You think about it. And the lust of the eyes. People covet. They covet what they see others having. And that becomes the sin to them if they proceed in it. And the vainglory of life. The vainglory of life. Those three things direct people to sin. And all these three things is not of the Father, but is of the world and of Satan the devil. And the world passes away and the lust of it, but he that does the will of Yahweh remains forever. And this is what we want. We want eternal life. We want to overcome this world. So when you think about it, okay, you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, eat, do whatever for a few hours, go back to bed, get up in the morning, do it all over again, right? It's like a vicious cycle. But there's a purpose to life. There's a rhythm to life. Now, if you get up in the morning and you involve Yahweh in your life. You do some devotions, some Bible study before you go to work. On your lunch break, you give him some concern. You pray while you're having your lunch. Maybe look into the Word a little bit more. When you come home in the evening, you pray. Again, you have your dinner, but you include Yahweh in your life at least three times a day. And guess what? You have a relationship. Your life is more fulfilling. You're a different person than you were when you were so focused on yourself. When we have Yahweh heavily in our lives, our lives become more meaningful. verse 18, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you heard that the Anti-Messiah comes, even now have there risen many Anti-Messiahs, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were all not of us. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. There's no lie of the truth. Who is the liar but he that denies Yahshua is the Messiah? This is the Anti-Messiah, he that denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, the same is not the Father. He that confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that remain in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning remain in you, you also shall remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he promised us, life eternal. And that's what we seek to have, brethren. We want eternal life. We want to overcome this world and Satan the devil. We want the blessings of eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning them that would lead you astray. And there are many out there that would lead you astray if you would let them, if you listen to them, if you follow them. And as for you, the anointing which you received of him remains in you, and you need not that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, remain in him. And that's something we have to do, remain in Yahshua. And now, little children, remain in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that does righteousness is begotten of him. Are you rightly dividing the word of truth? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. Some very hard times. For men shall be self-lovers, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh. And most people are like that. They love their pleasure rather than loving Yahweh. Verse 5, holding a form of righteousness, but having denied the power of it, from these also turn away. And you have a lot out there like that. They claim to be Yahweh's servants, but their life, their fruit shows different. For of these are they who creep into houses and take captive silly women burdened with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident to all men, as theirs also came to be. But you did follow my teaching, Now, Jannes and Jambres were magicians before Pharaoh. And remember, Moses' staff ate up their staff, had power over their magic. He says in verse 10, but you didn't follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my patience, my persecutions, my sufferings, with what things befell me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all Yahweh delivered me. Do we trust Yahweh to deliver us, brethren? Because we're in the last days. We see these things coming upon the earth, the world. Yes, in verse 12, and all that would live holy in the Messiah Yahshua shall suffer persecution. So you're not going to get around it. You're going to have some persecution in your life. But evil men and imposters shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But remain in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in the Messiah Yahshua. Every scripture Yahweh breathed is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness. And that's the keeping of the commandments, brethren. That's what righteousness represents. That the man of Yahweh may be complete, furnished completely to every good work, because he'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, over in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, starting in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. See, the word of Yahweh is life. It's spirit, but it's life. And we have to take of his spirit and his life, which leads us to life everlasting, eternal life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who it was that should betray him. And he said, for this cause I have said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father. Has the Father called you? I say yes, you're here. Now, verse 66, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yahshua said, therefore, to the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, teacher, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is the devil? Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The reason that we're doing what we're doing today and looking at these scriptures, I want you to understand that these that fell away, these disciples that walked with Yahshua, and they did miracles in his name, as it said in Matthew. He said, based on their fruit, they walked away. That's why the 144,000 are special people. And people say, well, you know, all throughout time you have all these people that have believed, and yet we haven't reached the 144,000. It takes a special person to be the elect of Yahweh. These disciples that followed him, and they were disciples. As a disciple, do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth? Obviously, there were many who could not, because they left him, and it was only the 12. And out of those 12, even one was the devil. See, this is not an easy walk, brethren. It is difficult. It's hard. But it's doable. We can do it. Turn over to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 3. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were with it were in the king's gate bowed down and did reverence to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants that were in the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass when they spoke daily to him that he listened not to them. He listened not to them. That they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew, Yahudim, a worshiper of Yahweh. Yep. Worshiper of Yahweh is special. They're different than the people of the world. Yes, they are. And this is why he didn't bow down to a man. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, but he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, that they were Jews. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is Abib, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast the pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, which is the month Adar. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are different from those of every people. They neither keep the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it pleases the king, let it be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have charge of the king's business." So he's trying to bribe the king. He's bribing the king to bring into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said to Haman, "The silver is given to you, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you." Then were the king's scribes called in the first month on the 13th day of it, and there was written, that's the day before what? 13th day of the first month is the day before Passover. The day before Passover. And we know what happens on the Passover, right? Passover lamb is sacrificed, the blood covering Yahweh's people. And there was written according to all that Haman commanded to the king's satraps. and to the governors that were over every province, and to the princes over every people, and to every province according to the writing of it, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring, and letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. So they had from the 13th day of the first month till the 13th day of the 12th month, which then, you know what this was? A purge. Did you see the movie The Purge? I haven't, but I heard about it. But here was a legal purge that you could go out and kill every Jew in the land, sealed by the king's ring. See, written by a enemy of the Jew, Haman. Now, which is the month Adar, to take the plunder of them for prey, a copy of the writing, that the decree should be given out in every province, was established, was published to all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed, because there were Jews there. See? Now, the reason I included that there, I wanted you to understand that the disciples who rightly divide the word of truth, those who trust Yahweh, and Mordecai was one that trusted Yahweh, and he prayed, he fasted and prayed that Yahweh would intervene, and Yahweh did. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Now after these things, the teacher appointed 70 others and set them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to come. And he said to them, the harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the owner of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into this harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs in the middle of wolves. Carry no purse, nor wallet, no shoes, and salute no man on the way. And in whatever house you shall enter, first say, peace be upon this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are in it, and say to them, the kingdom of Yahweh has come near to you. But into whatever city you shall enter, and they receive you not, go out into the streets of it and say, even the dust from your city that adheres to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of Yahweh has come near you. Drop down to verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, teacher, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents. And scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I want you to read, we'll read verses 21 to 24. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, Instead, I thank you, O Father, sovereign of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and understanding and did reveal them to babes. Father, so it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows who the Son is save the Father, and who the Father is save the Son, and he to whomever the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desire to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. Now, you saw in John chapter 6 that many of these disciples walked away. They left. We have to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to trust in Yahweh. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone that says to me, Master, Master, or Yahshua, Yahshua, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy by your name and by your name cast out demons? We saw that in Luke. And yet in John, these same disciples walked away. They didn't follow him anymore. And by your name do many mighty works. And then when I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. We cannot be like these brethren, these people who've walked away from Almighty Yahweh. For our closing passage, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 1 it says, for I do not wish, brethren, to have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and sea and did all eat the same spiritual food and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Messiah. However, with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased. Is Yahweh pleased with you today? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and 23,000 fell in one day. Neither let us make trial of Yahweh, as some of them made trial, and perished by the serpent. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Neither. Now, these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And that's us, brethren. We're here at the end of the age. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands watch out, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. Who? But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Almighty Yahweh has called us as disciples. Do you have discipline to rightly divide the word of truth, brother? We know the word of Yahweh, but we have to be able to rightly divide it. We have to be able to know how to apply it to our lives daily. There are many people who come in the name of Yahweh, But not all of them are doing the will of Yahweh. Not all of them, as you saw, those who were disciples in Luke, who did cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the word. But then in John 6, they walked away. We can't walk away, brethren. We have to believe that Yahweh is our mighty one, because eternal life only comes through him. And we have to do our best to serve him each and every day through love of the brethren, because that's what's going to show. When Yahshua returns, he's going to be looking for love of the brethren. Are you one of his disciples who rightly divides the truth? May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him. Would you all please rise for closing prayer? Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your name for the Sabbath day, for this opportunity to come before you, to hear your word, Father. We ask that your word would have free course in us and be a blessing to each and every one of your servants. Help us not to be those type of disciples to fall away, and those type of disciples who are not doing your will in these last days. But let us show love one to another, even to our enemies, that we might receive a blessing and eternal life. Because we want to be in your kingdom. We want to overcome this life and Satan, the devil, and this world. Help us, Father, to praise your name and to give honor and glory to you each and every day as we seek to be in your kingdom, your soon coming kingdom. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.